up on the screen. Here we go. This is what we started last.
I've got really excited about this over the last week. Well, that was before we all got gastroenteritis, and then I stopped being excited about anything except a nearby toilet. Shouldn't start something like that. Anyway, but the start of the week, I got really excited about this. I've been looking at the poor kid. Anyway, I've been looking at these seven feasts, and it's got me really excited because, okay, so last week we did the Feast of Trumpets. Do we remember this? The Feast of Trumpets.
Got a visual aid here, just to remind us what the Feast of Trumpets was.
And then, what does this noise mean? Hold on.
Oh,
didn't know I could do that, did you? Been practicing. What does that noise mean? The King is coming. Thank you. For those of you here last week, we looked at this. We've got the Feast of Trumpets, and they would play that noise day and night, and they'd remind us that the King is coming. If there's stuff in your life you need to deal with it quickly, because the King is coming. The King is coming. That was the Feast of Trumpets. And day and night, they'd play the trumpet. Say, the King's coming. Because in our life, there's times when we need to stop and we need to reflect on our focus, on our mindset, and is there anything in our life separating us and God? We need to reflect on those things. So we did that last week at the start of the year. What are the things we need to change in our focus? What are the things we need to change in our mindset? What are the things that we need to change that might separate us from God? Because the King's coming. Because the King's coming. We need to deal with this stuff. And all of this was in build-up to what we've just read from Leviticus, which is a very difficult word to say, I agree to it. From Leviticus. And this story of Yom Kippur, and that's the second one we're going to look at today. So you've got Feast of Trumpets there, there's the trumpet, and the one to the right of that is Yom Kippur. Because on Yom Kippur, your sin is dealt with. It's a good thing, isn't it? Yom Kippur, your sin is dealt with. This morning's talk is for any of you who feel like you're not good enough. This morning's talk is for any of you who feel weighed down. This morning's talk is for anyone who feels that they need more goats. So I'm going to set the scene for you so we can get a visual image about what's going on during Yom Kippur. So you've got the priest, and the priest would wear all his garb, you know, like the vicars normally wear the dog collar. Think that times 10. We've got big hats going on. We've got staff. We've got long flowing tunics. And the priest would bring two rams, two sheep, two goats. And these two goats, one of them is to represent, there's one. And one of them that the priest is going to bring, that's going to get rid of the sin of the priest. Because if someone is representing you to God, that's a pretty big deal. And what you don't want is the person representing you to God to have some rubbish in their life that they haven't dealt with, do you? We don't want that. In the same way, we don't like it when politicians, there's like some bad story about them, do we? We don't like that. Because we're like, you should be representing us. Do we get that sense? Okay, do we feel that? Anyway, so the same thing's happening here. You've got the high priest who is representing the people to God. And first of all, they have to deal with their sins. And then they need to deal with the sins of the people. So, priest, big hat, long flowing tunics, goat. He goes into the temple. Now, when I say go into the temple, I'm sure many of us think of a building that's a bit like this. Or maybe they think of a building like the one down the road. Here's a kind of video construction thing, what the temple looked like. Anyone here been to a big football stadium? Yeah. Who's been to Wembley? How many can Wembley fit in? 80,000? 85,000, something like that. If you've been to the new camp in Barcelona, it's a similar kind of number. It's big, isn't it? 85,000 people filling in one set. That is big. This temple that Herod built could fit 210,000 people in it. 210,000 people. This is where the people would gather in order to be purified. The ancient historian Josephus said that the temple, every bit of it, reflected the universe. So you go into this temple and you get a sense of what is happening at this temple is affecting the whole universe. You've had a month of da 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 da. King's coming.
sort out the stuff in your life. Had a month of that. And we get to the day where the high priest enters this massive temple that represents the universe and can fit 210,000 people in it. And they all come together. And their sins are dealt with. I believe that God wants to meet with us individually. I believe that God wants to change the temple. I believe that God wants to put something right between himself and humanity. And I think that that affects the whole universe. So when we're talking about the temple in the Old Testament, what we're talking about is the whole universe now. So, our high priest has got two goats. And the first one is not the goat you want to be. Because the first one, sadly, gets sacrificed. So, poor goat. Anyway, first goat gets sacrificed. Doesn't end well, particularly for the other goat. And then the other goat is called the
scapegoat.
Yeah, we get this phrase, don't we? The scapegoat. And what is the job of the scapegoat? To carry the sins of the many, isn't it? We've heard this phrase, the scapegoat. When something is going wrong, we need someone to blame. We still do it today, don't we? You see it. Those of you who support football teams will know this happens. When things start going wrong, the manager is the scapegoat. Even it might not be particularly the manager's fault. But the manager's getting sacked, aren't they? Because they take the sins of the many. We have it in business. Where something goes wrong, they're looking for who is the person we can blame? We still do it. Because part of us, we want to put all of our sins, the things that are wrong in us, and we want to put it on someone else. We need a scapegoat. And so what this high priest would do after they've sacrificed one of the goats is they'd take the other goat. And the high priest would press the sins of the people onto the goat. So this goat was here, and the high priest would press the sins of the goat, of the country, of the people, onto the goat. Does anyone know what that pressing was called? It's called Gethsemane. It's that process of pressing the sins of the people onto the goat. Now this goat wouldn't be touched by good Jewish people. Because you don't want to touch this goat. It's got all the sins of the people on it. Only Gentile. They'd have to find a Gentile person to come along and deal with this particular goat. Because that particular goat was so full of the sins that they'd have to get a Gentile to touch it. They couldn't let a Jewish person touch it. So, Gentile person would come and would take the scapegoat and take them out into the wilderness. This is the goat where all the sins of the people has been pressed. And then you'd have a whole year, and you'd do the whole thing again. And you'd have another year, and you'd do the whole thing again. And you'd have another year, and you'd do the whole thing again. In our lives, we often have stuff that we want to put the blame onto others. In our lives, we often have the sins of the people that we want to press onto the scapegoat. In our lives, we often carry around guilt and things that make us feel like we are not good enough. But the problem is, we don't have enough goats. We don't have enough goats. Because next year we need to do the same thing again. And next year we need to do the same thing again. And the next year we need to go the same thing again. It says in Hebrews, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeated endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near in worship. Otherwise, they would have just stopped being offered. The worshippers would have been cleansed once and for all. They would have no longer have felt guilty for their sins. Those sacrifices are just an annual reminder of sins. Because it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away the sins. Joseph has said that this experience in the temple, the massive temple, the one that we've just seen a picture of, Joseph says that going into that experience with 210,000 worshippers, if we can have the temple again out, please, Beth, that would be great. The experience of going into this temple changed him. He said there was an experience that he felt as he went into this temple and it changed him. Have we ever been in a church service that was just so amazing that it felt like it changed us? Yeah. For me, that was Watoto 2 years ago. The atmosphere, I felt that it changed me. I felt I was impacted by an expression of the love of God that I hadn't felt in that way before. As these kids were singing, for me it was significant in my life. I came into that, for hundreds of people, the kids at the front, it changed me. But then it wears off, doesn't it? It wears off. I'm so glad they're coming back. I'm buzzing. So glad. But it wears off. You go to the experience. You go and see the high priest. You have an experience of big church and it changes you, but it wears off. And before long, we need another go. And we need another go. I love experiences like that. I'm so glad Watoto are coming. But what I'm saying to you is that church services won't deal with it. The church services themselves, religious rituals, might change you temporarily, but they will not fix it. You still need more goats next year and the year after. Every day, the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away our sins. The reason why I got excited about this week and the rest of the series about the feasts is because when I understood this, I understood the New Testament. I understood what Jesus did. I understood the Bible so much better. I want to read this from John 19. To give you the context, what would happen after the priest had pressed the sins of the people onto the goat, which was called Gethsemane. And they did that pressing. Then the people would shout, "Take it away! Take it away!" Because if you've got a goat full of the sins of everyone in the country, you don't want it touching you, do you? You certainly don't want it in your garden. So you've got this goat, take it away. And they would get a Gentile to take it out into the desert. When we read this in John 14, and Jesus stands there at the front, in front of the crowd, having been through Gethsemane, where the sins of the people were pressed on him, what do the people shout? Take him away. Take him away and crucify him. And who led Jesus out to be crucified? Was it the Jewish people? No. It was the Gentile Romans. And so the Gentiles carry and take away Jesus, the man who has gone through Gethsemane, the pressing, the man who is carrying all the sins of the people. If you are watching what is happening to Jesus, you understand it. Because you've done this every single year all of your life. And you've never thought that there were enough goats. And now you see the man who has had the sins of the people pressed onto him. And you shout, take him away. And they carry him away. And the Gentiles, because the Jews won't touch him, take him. And they nail him to the cross. And they lift him up. Jesus is our Azazel. And where do they take him? What do you do with this goat that is full of the sins of the people? You don't let it back into the city. What do you do with this goat? You take it outside the city walls, don't you? It's where they took the scapegoat. Yes. And where does Jesus see it taken? Having been pressed at Gethsemane with the sins of the people, being carried out by the Gentile Romans, he is taken outside the city and raised up on the hillside. I'm going to read this from Leviticus. Then Aaron is to go into the tent of meeting, and he is to take off the linen garments he put on before he entered the most holy place, and he is to leave them there. Then he will bathe himself with water in the sanctuary area and put on his regular garments. Jesus is our Azazel. It's a bit in the New Testament I never understood. There's quite a lot of the Bible I still don't understand, to be honest. This was one verse that I never really got. Does anyone read it? It says this in John 20. Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb after Jesus had been resurrected. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. All right, it's a bit of a specific detail, isn't it? Jesus has just been raised from the dead. There are bigger things to talk about than what he left in the grave, isn't there? Like, to be honest, we don't really care what's happening to his head covering. John, get on with the story. Jesus has just been raised from the dead. What else is going on? It's in all the Gospels. They keep mentioning this cloth. Why do they keep talking about the cloth? Because Jesus is our Azazel. In Leviticus, he takes off the garments
And the high priest enters the most holy place and he is to leave those garments there. Because when we read the New Testament and we see the resurrection of Jesus, we can know it is finished.
Amen.
We can know it is finished. Our high priest has taken off the robes and he has left them there. Because it is done. Because it is done. Because it is finished. I don't know what you carry around. I don't know what are the things inside you that you want a scapegoat to put on. The things that you would like to blame other people for. And I've got seven. But let me tell you that goats won't cut it. You always need more goats. We can go to wonderful religious experiences. We can go to wonderful church services. We can feel like we've been changed. But let me tell you that religion doesn't change you. I'm sorry. Religious experiences like that, they don't deal with it once and for all. Let me tell you that good actions don't change you because you're still back the next year finding a different goat to sacrifice for the sins of that year. Let me tell you that trying harder doesn't fix it. Let me tell you that Jesus does. When Jesus takes the sin of the people and is carried out by the Gentiles, having been pressed at Gethsemane, as he is taken outside the city walls, as he is lifted up, as they put a crown of thorns on his head in the same way they used to put a red ribbon around the goat, as they used to say, "It is finished," before they sacrifice the goat, so Jesus hangs there and says exactly the same words, but this time he means it. Because when Jesus says, "It is finished," let me tell you, it's done. Let me tell you, you are forgiven. Let me tell you, you can leave it. As Rob Bell puts it, the goat has left the building. It's done. It's finished. We don't need any more goats. Because Jesus is our Azazel.
Amen.
It is finished. You are forgiven. You are clean. We don't have to try harder. And instead, my challenge to us this week, why don't we use that energy that we expend trying to earn our love? Why don't we use that energy to forgive others? Because God's forgiven you. He is our Azazel. And when he says, "It is finished," it really is. That's Yom Kippur. We're going to look at the next feast next week. Let's pray. God, we don't need a year's worth of sin to come before you and ask for your forgiveness. A week would do. Maybe even today. We come before you, Father, with a grateful heart. We want to receive your forgiveness and your freedom this morning. We want to believe the truth that it is finished, that you have taken it, that you have paid the price, that what you did on the cross counts for us. We want to believe the truth that we don't need the goats anymore. We don't need to look for the scapegoat because you've taken it all. And we choose to let go and hand it over to you. And receive your unearned, your relentless, your incredible, your enormous love.
Amen.
It's an outrageous gift. And we receive it this morning. And we thank you. Because you are a good God.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.